on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Born and Raised. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
Welcome to the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. Born and Raised right here on Warm Springs Road between Buffalo and Durango. And just before we get kicked off more ways than one into the show, there are promos here at Born and Raised during all UNLV games, which include $3 Bud Light and Mick Ultra Drafts, $4 Estrella Jalisco Drafts, $20 100-ounce Towers of Bud, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra, $20 buckets of Bud, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra bottles. Brand new happy hour here at Born and Raised. Wide limit happy hour, just an hour when it's Born and Raised time. 40 items to choose from, including all appetizers and sliders, all for $6 or less. And they're also running promos for all NFL games. Same beer specials as UNLV, along with $5 Jägermeister shots, $5 Absolute Bloody Marys on Sunday, and a lot more we'll tell you about later on. But right now, the Tony Sanchez Show starting off here with head coach Tony Sanchez and Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield. Coach, how's it going?
It's going good. You know, we're sitting here on Wednesday getting closer and closer to kickoff, so excited about going down to Jonesboro to take on Arkansas State, and excited to be here.
It'll be the Rebels' first ever trip to Arkansas State, and we're going to get into all that later on. Caleb, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm excited as well to take my first trip down to Arkansas State and watch a good football game this Saturday. So everything's going good this week.
We're staying in Memphis. We'll crush a little barbecue or whatever
of
comes
course.
Up.
Oh, I'm a little jealous,
Steve.
I know.
I'm excited about that.
That's why you are the voice of the Rebels. Estrella Jalisco. I think I've blown that every time I've said it on the air.
It's a good beer.
You have a chance, though.
Oh, I drink it.
That's right.
Oh, I drink it. I just can't say it.
Fanatical effort.
Yeah. That's what we're I tell you, exactly. The other thing, I have to sit down with Russ, like, really soon on the Polynesian names on the roster. I am struggling badly.
Yeah, you got to work that out.
It's You're okay. great. Coach is ridiculous at it. He'll reel off like 15. I'm like, what? Is that one person?
You got to get it right recruiting, though, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's
I'm
a
not
good way to lose a recruit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really tough to go into someone's living room and pronounce their name wrong and expect them to commit. So, coach has to practice. He has to be great at it.
All right, Rebels coming off a nice win over Prairie View A&M overall, and as a result, Rebels 2-1. It's the best start in 9 years for the program.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I mean, I'm happy about that. You know, we're just happy that, you know, we were able to win two games in a row at home, and the guys are playing better each week, and, you know, you're seeing some improvement. You're seeing more guys get out there and contribute. So, you know, I mean, that's the whole goal, every week to get better, and if you do that enough and you got a talented roster, you're going to have a chance to win some football games.
After 2 weeks, Coach, into the season, or 3 weeks into the season, what have you learned, if anything, about your team as far as where you are and where you need to be and what you need to really focus on as a coach?
Well, there's a lot, you know, defensively, you know, shoring up the run defense. You know, we did a better job last week of it. Guys are doing a better job communicating, being on the same page. I think Skip understands the personnel, you know, better and better the more you call games with them. You know, we moved Gabe McCoy around a little bit last week, played some backward, also played some defensive end. So messing with some of the moving parts there. And one of the biggest things is the depth, you know. There are times before, I mean, if you go down to your third-string center, you're in trouble no matter who you play. And we got through the game, and, you know, Jack Reynolds did a phenomenal job. That was great to see. We had a, you know, our nickel went down to Jason Roberts, and a true freshman, Bryce Jackson, came in, did a really good job, had a good week of practice. You know, Caldwell is going to be out this week, and you got Julio Garcia now going in as a returning starter. So you're seeing the depth really come in and come into play and give us a chance to be successful. You know, Armani's done some good things, and there's still room for growth there. And, you know, I think overall, you know, I like where we're at, and I think that we had a good pulse coming in just because we had so many returning guys.
For the second straight game, the Rebels got the ball. They elected to take the ball and went right down and scored, and that kind of puts the other team back on its heels right out of the gate.
Yeah, you know, we knew that they had a good, you know, run game. That the quarterback and that tailback coming in, they've been a little hot lately, so we figured if we get the ball first, go down and score and just make them a little uncomfortable being on the road. You know, they had a tough schedule, too, when you look at how many road games they had consecutively in a row. That's a tough deal to deal with. So we just felt like taking the ball in that situation was, you know, advantageous for us.
What are some of the factors that go into deciding if you're going to take the ball or kick it away?
There's a lot. You know, I mean, I don't know. Some of it's feel, some of it who that opponent is, the weather, wind, how important is that going to be. It really comes down to your opponent. It comes down to the weather, and it comes down to really how you're feeling about, you know, your game plan going on in. I mean, there are times where you feel like, hey, you know what, let's get the defense out there, let's three and out, let's play field position right away. There are times where you feel like, man, we can get after these guys early in the game. And sometimes you just, you know what, if you're not sure, just defer to the second half. So, I mean, it's kind of the trend now. People defer. Sometimes you're feeling, you know, a little froggy, and you're like, all right, give me the ball right now. So it just kind of all depends, but you mix it up a bit.
Coin toss has a lot to do with how the game starts, and we talked about it against UTEP. Not too happy with the way the defense got started. This week, how do you assess the way the game started for the Rebels, both sides of the ball?
Phenomenal. I mean, yeah, especially defensively. They did a really, really good job of, you know, shutting the run game down. I mean, holding that tailback to 61 yards was phenomenal. 99 yards on the night, that's a big deal. Anytime you hold a team under 100 yards rushing, you know, you have a really good chance of winning that football game. So that was big. Also, in the first half, man, I tell you what, I loved it. You know, offense, you know, turns the ball over in a really bad place, right, inside the 5-yard line, or I believe the 6, and defense gets a stop, no points. We also have a muff punt return. Defense stops them there, no points. And then the defense does allow them to drive inside, first and goal at the 2, no points. So that's 3 situations where it's real easy to give up some points, and we held them to 0 points when it could have been up to 21. So that was great to see. Offensively, we did some really good things, and we moved the ball down the field. You know, didn't like the turnovers. Thought we did some sloppy things, you know, early on. But, you know, I said this last week on the show, these guys are going to play an umbrella deal. They're going to force us to kind of methodically move down the field. And we were able to do that. You know, it was kind of vanilla, but sometimes that's the way you got to win and put people away.
Second half of the show, we're going to have a conversation with linebacker Roger Mann. Interviewed him, and we'll get his thoughts on the team, his own play, and the Rebels' upcoming game against Arkansas State in Jonesboro coming up Saturday. It's 4:00 Pacific time, the 2-hour time difference, 6:00 kickoff in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And Coach, you mentioned something about the weather. We're gonna get into the Arkansas State game in the second half of the show, but last time I looked, 90% chance of rain Saturday night.
Yeah, it's going to be rainy. It's going to be wet. We did the water ball drills today, so that's
love those
fun.
Drills.
Yeah, exactly. Dipping them in there when you're playing catch and exchanges and all that. So it'll be a factor. It'll be interesting to see. You know, again, you get a wet game, you know, it tends to lead to turnover. So I talked to our team about that. Hey, you know, our job is to hold on to the ball, and defense's job is to get it away. You know, they're a team that likes to throw the football. You know, that's what they do. So, again, depending on how much it rains and, you know, how humid it is out there, it could definitely have an impact.
All right, well, the Rebels took the ball against Prairie View A&M, and the opening drive, they were faced with a 4th-and-1 at the 38. And then Xavier Campbell went over the right side to get the first. And then they were faced with 3rd-and-11 at the 24. And Armani hit Drew Techman with a very nice pass.
Yeah, that was beautiful. That was really nice to see. That's 2 weeks in a row early in the game. We were taking a shot over the top. And, you know, once you do that, it kind of puts the defense on their heel. So that was a beautiful ball. And the most impressive thing about that throw is the shot that he took. Now, it bothers us, and we talked about it all week. He took too many shots in this game. But he took one right on the mouth. But he stood in there, took the shot, delivered the ball on the money, and Drew came up with it.
And then the first time the Rebels were on defense, Prairie View went 3 and out. And it seemed like the Rebels, one of the things they did to make a statement early on, one of those early plays, Jericho Flowers just leveled one of the Panthers.
Yeah, they ran a little out route to the flats, and Jericho came up and did, you know, got a nice hit on him. And it's a physical game. Anytime you can, you know, create a physical presence out there, the other team knows that, you know, that you're ready to roll, and, you know, it's going to be a physical night. It sets a tone.
Then they had a bad snap on the punt. They had that kind of challenge throughout the game. And then Chad Magyar recovered it at the 1 a couple of plays later. Lexington went in with a touchdown. It's 13-0 right there.
Yeah, it was good. You know, Chad's one of those guys, him and Austin Ajike, who actually had a fair catch during the game, which was really Johnny on the spot. But both those guys hadn't played it. You know, there were guys who were planning on redshirting. We'll see how it all goes. But that was their first action. So to see both those true freshmen make a difference, that was a big deal.
You want to talk about the punting in the game? That was one of the craziest games for punting, especially on their side. I felt bad for that kid.
You know what? Normally I don't, but I did too. You know,
normally you're like, I don't care. Keep muffing.
You know, our guys did a good job. We had a 4-yard average game, which is great. But I mean, oh man, that's tough when you go back and you watch it. I mean, they got some things I got to work out there. You know, they had the Rice game where they had one, you know, and then they end up getting the safety, you know, because of a snap, and then in this game, you know, a couple drops, and it just puts you behind the eight ball.
You know, Caleb and I on the Cofield & Company show talked about just the kicking mentality and how to handle it, and we'll get to some of the field goal woes on your side. But in that case, like, what do you do as a coach when the punter's having such a rough time? You rip his head off? I mean, what do you do?
You know, it depends who he is. If it's an older kid who's had a lot of success and he's just kind of floating around out there, maybe you get after him a little bit. But, you know, when you're young, you're a freshman out there, you know, you got to look in the guy's eyes. And if he's scared, your job's to settle him down and get him in the pocket to get through the game, you know. Save that chewing for when you get back to the football building. But that was rough. I mean, that was a tough, tough deal. You know, if you've coached long enough, you've all had that stuff happen to you at times. And it's one of those deals where you're trying to figure out how to stop that. But after that third time, it's like, wow, okay. I'm sure this week they looked at some different guys and stuff and tried to figure out how to calm him down. And hopefully he bounces back.
Rebels got the ball back on their own 5, but then they fumbled. Armani dropped the snap, and the Panthers got it. But then the Rebel defense was, at that point, equal to the task, and the field goal was blocked by Martrice Jones.
Yeah, that was big. I mean, you know, first of all, you cannot turn it over. I mean, you know, we were 3-3 turnovers. We do that again, we're not going to win this next game. Cannot do it. Can't happen. You can't have unforced errors. Presley's fumble was an unforced error. Armani's drop was an unforced error. And then the interception, we had a receiver that fell down. Tylee Collins falls down running a route, turns into an interception. So, you know, we talked about that this week. You know, those things cannot occur. But the defense stepped up. I mean, man, to go ahead and get the 3-and-out, get them in field goal range, and then, you know, get a block, that was a big deal.
It's a huge deal. 3-and-out. I mean, I don't think the Panthers moved the ball an inch on that drive. And it's, you know, in that situation, you think, oh, we'll settle for 3. We can get them to 3. But on top of that, to have your special teams unit come out and block a field goal, the first field goal block of the season, what does that do for the – it was a parade on the sideline, everybody jumping up and down. How good was that to celebrate that moment with your team?
Well, it's great. You know, it's another example. Montrese Johns, a junior college guy we brought over, hasn't played a lot yet this year. And I'm sure that's frustrating the guys. But he goes in there, and all of a sudden, you know, he blocks the field goal. I mean, that's a big deal seeing that. And even though you're not maybe getting what you want as far as playing time right now, you still go out there with the same effort, execution, fighting for the team, and making a play. So, you know, we praise that big time on Monday.
I thought it was interesting, too, that Dominion Zinwa was one of the first guys to celebrate with him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're both junior college guys. I'm sure they assumed, wrongly, that they were going to walk in and play right away. I mean, you got to earn your time, but he was celebrating with them.
Yeah, I mean, and those are the things that show that how close this team is, how much, you know, they're all bought in and they're all in. And, you know, again, as a player, we've all gone through it. There are times where it can be frustrating. You're not playing as much as you want. Maybe you're not getting the ball as much as you want, whatever your position is. But you can never be a detriment to the team. You have to stay positive. And when you do, good things will happen. And that was a great reflection of those two guys right there. Again, coming in, probably thinking they were going to, you know, come in and be superstars right away. And they found out that, you know, it's a pretty good roster right now. And those guys will be. They'll be contributors here. They'll do some good things. But to see that energy level and that excitement level, that fires you up.
What about Chad Magyar, a guy that seems to be way under the radar? He wasn't even listed on the roster at one time.
Yeah, no, he's a guy that, you know, we thought, you know, a heck of a lot of him, you know, recruiting him in high school. I actually got a chance to go watch one of his high school games at Santa Margarita, and the kid's dynamic. You know, he's one of the top rushers in the Southern section last year and just really good football player. And you see his physicality, the weight he's gained since he's been here, what he's done in the weight room. He's an explosive guy. He's got great hands, and he's really chipped away at it on scout team. And during the summer, he proved himself as a special teams guy. So we knew coming out of camp that he was going to play. Him and Austin, we knew, you know, by the time we got to the end of August, all right, at some critical point, we've got to get these guys in the game because they'll help us win.
All right. Now, the Rebels got the ball back because Prairie View down 13-0 got the ball. But then another misfire on the snap. Armani went in from six yards out to make it 20-0. And after another Prairie View punt, that's when Presley fumbled, and it was recovered by Prairie View. But then Roger Mann sacked Jalen Morton, and the Rebels took over.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, we were pretty methodical in the way we were running the ball, and it was kind of a no-brainer just to keep on doing it, you know, lull them to sleep a little bit and just keep putting points on the board. You know, again, you know, we took a big lead into half, but the frustrating thing when you look back on it, I mean, you know, we probably could have had a couple more scores, you know, if we hadn't played so sloppy. The turnover by Armani and then the one by Pressel. So those are things we got to clean up, you know. I mean, it does happen, but it can't consistently happen, and if you're going to win big games, you can't do that stuff.
One of the best drives happened right after that. The Rebels were on their own 11-yard line. And they went down the field 14 plays to score the touchdown, 89 yards, and it ate up 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks in a row that we were able to, you know, go down, you know, and close out halves with big scores. So, you know, I'm telling you, we talked a bunch about that USC game. That's one of those things I'm never going to forget. You know, we had an opportunity to go up 21-12, and, you know, you just got to execute at the end of the half, and we had two opportunities to do it, and we didn't with either. And believe me, we talked about that quite a bit. You know, hey, if we're going to be as good as we want to be, we're going to have to close things out, and, you know, when we get opportunities. So it's been great to see that.
on that touchdown, really on all the touchdowns, because I think all three were, you know, going outside.
Yeah.
All four with Rodgers. What did you see defensively that you thought you could take advantage of?
You know, it's an outside QB sweep. You know, there's no option on that play. And when you looked at the number count, we just had them outnumbered. They didn't adjust to it, so we just continued to run it down there.
Well, let's go a little deep dive on this. If I'm correct, at least two of the four, Owens was on the field. He seems to be developing a reputation, or at least you trust him to be a road grader.
Yeah,
an extra offensive lineman, and he delivered some blocks on both.
Big time, you know what? And that's another thing we praised on Monday when we went in there. When you look, I mean, he's a big kid, you know, right at around 6'3", you know, 220 pounds, runs really well, caught a really nice ball out of the backfield too. So he's done a really, really good job in those short yardage situations, being a big physical guy. And I tell you what, another thing that's unseen is his play on special teams has been phenomenal. I mean, he's really done a good job. And again, that's another guy. I mean, you got Lex, you got X, you got Charles. And then there's him. He's a good football player. I mean, if we had to give him the ball 18 times in a game, he could do it and help us win. It's just he's behind some really good guys right now, but he never has a bad attitude. I mean, he comes in every day, and we got a group of dudes that just want to win.
Time for our first break in the Tony Sanchez Show. A whole lot more coming up, including finishing the recap of the win over Prairie View A&M. We're going to get into the Arkansas State game and a conversation with linebacker Roger Mann in the second half as well. This is the Tony Sanchez Show on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. On 3rd and 11, trips to the left, one man wide right. Back to throw, Rodgers. Rodgers pressured, throwing for the end zone. He's got a man. It's caught. It's a Rebel touchdown, and it's Drew Techman who brought it in for a touchdown from 24 yards out. This will be a 27-yard attempt by Caleb Dearborn. Then the kick is blocked. Zach Elder had it blocked. The Rebels blocked the field goal. What a huge break for the Rebels and the defense. These guys are on cloud nine as they leap up in the air to leave the field. Evan Owens in the game right now in the backfield, and Rodgers is going to run. He's at the five. He busts through, and he falls into the end zone for a Rebel touchdown. Armani Rodgers puts the Rebels up 19-0 with 1:29 to go first quarter, and the point after coming up. Morton in heavy traffic. Morton is going to get swallowed up and sacked at the 40-yard line. That's a big loss. That's about a 6-yard loss. Roger Mann, the first one to drag him down.
UNLV last season, it was a rarity for anybody to get anywhere near the quarterback here. Defensively, for the first three games of the season, they've been in the backfield often. So at this point, it's not a fluke. It's become part of their identity.
Some of the highlights from the first half of the Rebel victory over Prairie View A&M. Russ Langer here on the Tony Sanchez Show alongside Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield with Chris Hernandez at the controls here. And reminder, we're at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango. And Born and Raised wants you to know about Bar Plinko for all Sunday night and Monday night NFL games. Guests can play Bar Plinko. Every guest will get a paper jersey of an offensive player from that night's game. If your player scores, you get to play Plinko for a chance to win the following: tickets to an NFL game, passes for a pole position raceway, a car wash, appetizers, beer towers, shirts, hats, all kinds of goodies. Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. And don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores in your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. When the Rebels scored, Tony, to make it 27-0, Armani scored another touchdown, and he was sprung by a very nice block from Lexington.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Lexington, over his career, has proved that he's a heck of a blocker. He does a great job in pass pro, does a good job, you know, blocking downfield. That was, I believe, on the draw play. And he's a sharp guy. And it was actually a low snap, you know, and, he did a phenomenal job of reacting to that. So, you know, Lex is a great player, and he's good in all facets.
Scary moment following that with Tyjason Roberts getting hurt. What was the prognosis? How did things look? How did the surgery go?
You know, that was a scary moment. You know, you never know how serious they are until later on. So, obviously, for them to have to board him and take him out, you know, got you worried about it right away. But things went well. They did a great job. Took him to UMC, trauma. Those guys, you know, got him into surgery the next morning. Surgery went well, came out really good, and got a chance to. I've seen him a couple of times. I have not seen him today, but I do know that you know, they sat him up and he walked a little, you know, he got up on his own and was able to walk, and that's a big, big thing. So, you know, thank God.
Obviously, thoughts and prayers go out to the family. As a head coach, what is it like when a player gets injured like that? Do you reach out to the family? Is there anything that you do specifically to make sure that everybody understands that you know the kid's best interest is what you're looking at?
Yeah, all of the above, and it's not just myself; it's the whole athletic department. You know, that next morning, you know, I went down to the hospital, and Desiree, our athletic director, she was already there. You know, hanging out with the family, brought donuts in and everything, and you know, players were going by there. And I mean, we're a family, you know, and it's not just a football family; we're a UNLV athletic department family. You know, so everybody. Everybody cares. We reached out, you know, obviously to the mom. I talked to her on the field. I talked to her that night, and then obviously the next day, and I've talked to her, you know, since. But it's not just me. I mean, we've got position coaches going by there and players going by there, and they know they're taken care of and they're loved and they're cared about. And Ty Jason, he's great, though. I went in and saw him. I saw him the next day, but then the day after that, so Monday, I went in there, and I said, hey, can we bring an iPad, bring you some movies? He's like, yeah. He's like, can you bring me some Arkansas State film? I said, sure. So we all got some great film at home, so he's sitting there watching. So that was great.
Well, after those anxious moments, the defense refocused. And third and goal at the 2, Jalen Morton fumbled. Farrell Hester was there to pounce on it.
Yeah, that's big. You know, again, you know, they drive down there, and our guys just keep playing. You know, they're just playing tough. And you know, sometimes you get your back against the wall. It's easy to kind of let down a little bit, especially when you have a lead and you're not feeling the urgency. And they didn't. They did a great job of just, you know, playing hard-nosed football and stopping them on first down, creating that situation to get the turnover.
Yeah, I was blown away by the emotion of the moment because that was a 17-minute delay.
Yeah.
You watch your teammate go off on a stretcher. I mean, who wants to play football at that point?
Yeah, you know.
And
then
three plays later, fumble, and they played stout defense there, so they got it back emotionally quickly.
They did, and you know, that's the whole thing. It's that competitive maturity. You know, I mean, you know, playing this game, there's always risk to it, and it's not being callous and it's not being insensitive. You still got to go out there and you got to play the game. And you know, our guys did a really good job of just refocusing their energy, refocusing their effort, and going out and you know, finishing the game off.
After that, Rebels had another big drive that was keyed by a couple of back-to-back good runs by Lexington Thomas and Armani Rogers. And then Armani went in for another touchdown, and at the half, it's 34-0.
Yeah, you know, again, you know, putting that together right before the half was a big deal. Defense getting the stop. You know, they helped us out a little bit by, you know, we didn't end up having to use the timeouts, but you know, they threw the ball a couple times that kept the clock from rolling and gave us one more shot.
So it was interesting at the half. When I talked to you, it was almost like you didn't realize how big the score was because you were frustrated with the offense. And then you're like, wait, we're up 34-0. I guess that's kind of good.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I felt like towards the end of the half we had some incompletions that were just, you know, errant balls, you know, just look kind of sloppy. You know, I hate the turnovers. I hate them. You can't turn the ball over, you know, and be good. So that really bothered me on that end. But we did do some good things. So, you know, again, you know, I can't praise, you know, Jackson Reynolds enough either. He had a pretty good nose, and he was getting after him a little bit and caused some problems. But for him to hang in there, that was really good.
You know, we should mention the beginning of the game was not easy for him because you mentioned a low snap. There were, I think it was probably two of the first six or seven shotguns.
Yeah.
They were a little bit low. So, and Armani had to recover. And that, you know, for a guy who's a walk-on, he's just getting his first chance, that can kind of screw you up mentally.
No doubt about it. You know, and him getting his first start and being, you know, being a walk-on guy, being a local guy, I know he was jazzed up. You know, his father was all pumped, you know. And you got to control those emotions, you know. And they had a guy, they lined up a guy right in front of him, you know, in the nose and was getting after him a little bit early on. So he hung in there, you know, dropped a pad level and, you know, he settled in and did some good things.
At any point, going into halftime with a 34-0 lead and feeling like it was a sloppy game, at any point did you think to yourself, well, it's good to have a sloppy game and have so many coaching points and still be up 34 points?
Yeah, I mean, you'd rather not have a sloppy game, you know. There's still going to be things to coach, you know. But, yeah, when you go in on Sunday, start watching the film, you're sitting there going like, okay, you know, this is a good moment because although we had a comfortable lead and we did some really good things, there's still so much more we could have done better, you know. And I think you see it week in and week out in college football. When you watch all kinds of games, and some games are way closer than they should be. Some games, you know, you see teams kind of let the air come out of their sails and let teams back in the games. And so it was good to have a game where it wasn't perfect, a lot to improve on. But we kind of put a stop to them, you know, coming back and making it an ugly win. You don't want an ugly win.
Rebels ran the ball well overall, but it seemed like Prairie View was a little stingy on first down. Rebels were faced with a lot of second and longs.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, first and 10, the first couple of first couple of first and tens we had were pretty successful. After that, I thought we had, you know, we had a big run of some ugly first downs. I mean, 2 yard gain, 1 yard gain, 2 yard gain. You know, and you just don't want to. If you're sitting there in second and long, it puts Coach Cotton in a tough situation. All right, how are we going to do? How are we going to get half of this back so we have a manageable third down? And then it ends up resulting in the quarterback being in a bad situation, you know, on those third and long. So, again, that's something we could definitely improve on. Those guys did a good job of getting a push up front and first downs.
But on the defensive side, you touched on this earlier, three times in the first half, early in the game, Prairie View with major opportunities and the Rebel defense stiffened up.
Yeah, I mean, they did a good job of just playing hard. You know, if you're in a bad situation, you can't worry about it. You got to go out there and just execute and play hard, and play violent, play physical.
Now, the long drives that we touched on offense really seemed to dictate the course of the game in many ways. It kind of affected the time of possession and resting the defense and not going not giving their offense a chance to really find the rhythm that much.
Yeah, you know, when you got a team that's, you know, struggling a little bit, you know, to find the rhythm offensively, and you can sustain drives and stay on the field and not let them, because that's what an offense wants. If they're not hot, they need to get back out there. They got to get back out there. They got to get snaps. They got to start production. So when you're sitting on the sidelines for long periods of time, that builds well for you.
What about the Rebel secondary? It did seem like Prairie View had some open guys, and sometimes the quarterback misfired.
Yeah, well, number 11, the wide receiver, he's as good of a receiver as we're going to see the rest of the season in Mountain West play.
I mean,
he can play on any – he can start on any Mountain West team. I mean, he's a guy originally from University of Oregon. You know, he's a big-time guy. Transferred to JUCO and then went there. And, I mean, he's a big-time player. I mean, what does he go, like 6'4", 215 pounds, runs extremely well. So a little bit of a mismatch. So, you know, you saw a lot of times we had guys right there with him. He just did a good job of bodying up and going up. I think the evolution that we'd like to see in the corners right now is they're doing a good job of being in position. You got to get them to turn and play the ball a little bit more, and that comes with confidence.
I thought that team had good receivers, not only Wallace. And you brought up Wallace went to Oregon as a – I think at the time in 2016 he was the 7th-rated – dual-threat quarterback in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, he turned down a lot of big boys to go to Oregon, had some troubles off the field. I thought the other kid, Riles, who in the second half there was a couple situations where, you know, you guys had a tough time taking him down. I thought he was a nice receiver as well.
He was. I mean, they had some good skill. They really did. I mean, there were some areas we overmatched him, but, you know, that little back's a good player. I know he had a tough night against us, but he's a good player. Quarterback's a decent guy, and those two receivers, though, I mean, they're good. I mean, they're definitely playing the Mountain West.
Back for our second half of the show, the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. We'll take a break and come back. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. On second and goal from the 2, Rodgers is going to keep it. Rodgers trying the near side, then he waltzes in for a Rebel touchdown. And the Rebels go up 26-0 with 8:12 to go in the second quarter with a point after coming up.
Armani Rodgers on his legs has found the end zone twice here tonight. And if you're worried about him being a threat to run the ball or had any questions if somebody would be able to wise up and stop him, he's answered that question here this evening.
Caleb Broach, the main running back. Now the snap is fumbled. The snap is fumbled, and the Rebels have it. The Rebels recover the fumble at the 2-yard line. Boy, each team with a couple of turnovers, and the Rebels get that one right there. That's huge. Rodgers running on the left side. He's got all kinds of room. He waltzes in for another Rebel touchdown. You could have driven a 737 through that hole.
Oh, my goodness. What a job by the offensive line. And Evan Owens from the running back position almost turned into a fullback.
Rodgers now throws a pass that's intercepted on the near side. He threw into heavy coverage trying to hit Collins, and it was Jalen Harris to pick it off. Rebels' third turnover. They've lost 2 fumbles. Tony Sanchez Show here at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, brought to you by Dignity Health, where we know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why we offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. And now we have our ace utility man to tell us about Finley Chevrolet.
And Finley Chevrolet is your home for woo! Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to woo! Finley Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads.
Find new roads.
I like
and
it.
Find higher octaves. Thank you very much. That's awesome. That is tremendous. Anyway, the Rebels played, it seemed like they, after kind of a sluggish third quarter, Coach, they found a new gear in the fourth quarter and regained their focus.
Yeah, we did. We definitely had a, you know, were a little sluggish and, you know, moved the ball down the field and then just sputtered, you know, at times. And, you know, it gets frustrating. You know, defensively continued to play well, though. They played really well, you know, through most of the third quarter. So, you know, it's one of those deals where you get up and you don't want your guys to relax and let their guard down and all. And we talked about that. You just got to be mature enough to just keep on playing and keep playing hard the entire time.
That other field goal attempt that was blocked, why Gutierrez in that situation?
Well, Evan, he had a bunch of kicks on his leg already. We'd kicked off so many times. We had pulled him. You know, I mean, we felt like, you know, again, you know, one of those deals where Gutierrez has a good leg for kickoffs. And we wanted to completely wholesale change at that point and just have Gutierrez finish the game out. And then the timing was off. We started, you know, as soon as that ball snapped, you got to be moving forward. We were late. It was a low kick, and then we didn't do a good job off the edge. So, believe me, we spent some time on that this week.
Okay, I like the way you delivered that. Yeah. We spent some time on that. Well, it's interesting. We talked about the other side's punter and what you do when a guy's struggling. So Pantels has been so good, and then he has a rough game. What do you do there? I'll let people inside. I think it was after the 24-yarder. He was getting it good for one of the coaches, and then you turned around and you're like, all right. And again, that's managing the ego. You know, it's not an ego, but, you know, it's the fragile mentality of the kicker. The next kick is the only one that really counts.
Yep, you're right. You know, he's had a great career up until this point, right? And, you know, this last couple weeks, you know, mentally you got to get yourself back in the pocket. We're 2-5. He's 2-4 on field goals. He missed a PAT for the first time in his career. He hit 80 in a row going into that thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see the frustration. We miss a field goal, and there's a penalty, so we get to re-kick it. You know, but, I mean, if there's no penalty on that, that's another missed field goal that goes down in the book. So at that point, that's when coach is talking to him on the sidelines. And I said, hey, no lectures at this point. This kid's a senior. He's been around here. Let him figure it out. You know what I mean? At some point, we've got to stop, you know, holding hands.
And Caleb and I talked about this from a position player standpoint. Like, I don't know how you feel as a coach, but I'm sure the players want to go over, and they're like, all right, let's pat him on the back. But I don't even know if you want the other players going over. Caleb, you were saying, like, you got to be really careful around kickers.
Yeah. It's one of the things. As a player, you got to be sensitive. I mean, you don't want to be the one to go. If anybody's going to do it, it's the coach, right? The coach has to be the one to rip the kicker. It's kind of one of those unspoken things. Like, the kicker does his own thing until the coach is upset with him or something like that.
Well, and Evans, the one thing I like about Evans, he's a dude. I mean, he's an athlete. He's not, I hate to say, he's not just a kicker, you know.
Well, it's true. There are so many just kickers on teams.
Yeah, I mean, well, they've done it their whole lives, and that's all they've done. And they had a coach, and they went to the park, and they just kicked and kicked and kicked and never really been tackled or never, you know, turned two from second base or anything like that, you know. So he's a guy that's done that. So, you know, you walk up and say, hey, come on, Evan, you're better than that, man. Get your head out of it. Let's go. You know, and you can talk to him that way, and he responds that way.
We're going to dive into the Arkansas State game, the upcoming game.
Kickers right now.
There you go. That's right. The phone's ringing off the hook here.
I don't mind.
Arkansas State. Rebels traveling to Jonesboro, Arkansas this Saturday, 4 o'clock Pacific time. Kickoff 6 o'clock in the Central time zone. We are going to have our conversation now with Rebel linebacker Roger Mann with a couple of key sacks and a fumble recovery in the game against Prairie View A&M right now. Our conversation with linebacker Roger Mann. Visiting with defensive lineman Roger Mann on this edition of the Coach's Show from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. And Roger, let's start off talking about the team this past week. A very solid first half for basically every aspect of the team. Third quarter, whole different story as Prairie View A&M came back some. But then you guys seemed to turn it up a notch when the fourth quarter rolled around. What was the turning point between the third and the fourth quarter?
You know, I think that we're trying to learn how to play with a lead right now. In the third quarter, we kind of noticed that our energy dropped. So once the game started to get close again, we kind of opened up our eyes and we're like, wow, we need to put our foot on the gas again. And that's why in the fourth quarter, we were able to turn it around again. So we're working on playing with a lead so that we can keep the gas going at all times so we don't make games that we should be winning interesting.
Okay. Confidence. One of the things that the coach mentioned in the press conference is that this is a selfless team. This is a team that cares more about each other than themselves. From your time as a junior to your time now as a senior, how is that different from one year to the next?
It's really different. We've had, especially last week, we had to have a couple guys kind of take a back seat just for the scheme. And, you know, they were still there on the sidelines. You know, when they got their plays in, they went 100%. But on the sidelines, they were cheering everybody on. You know, they were fully invested in the game. And that's the type of energy that everybody feeds off of. You don't want to see people sitting on the bench, you know, moping around. When you see your brothers and your teammates, everybody invested in the game, it makes a huge difference, and it helps us all boost our confidence as a team.
When Tyjason Roberts went down in the game, obviously the team, but Prairie View did it too, but you guys were out there, you're on one knee. Is that, describe, if you can, the feeling of being out there and your collective concern for a teammate?
It's heart-wrenching because, obviously, it's bigger than football at that point. We're talking about the rest of somebody's life. So when an injury that severe happens, it really hurts. It hurts our emotions, but we want to go out there and we want to perform for him after that. Everything we do after that, we're doing for Tyjason. We just want to make sure that we make him a proud teammate now, and we just support him on his road to recovery.
All right. Looking forward to Arkansas State. I figure it'd be a tough matchup. They're on the road. It's a program with a history of success, and they played some tough games this year. But what do you look for?
First of all, they have a very quick offense. They got a lot of speedy players. They got big receivers, big offensive linemen, and they run a high tempo offense. So this week we're really working on importing that into our practices so that we're ready for it when it comes to game time. Obviously, it's going to be a little faster when the game hits. You know, we'll have adrenaline pumping. But as long as we could prepare this week, then we should be able to keep up just fine with the tempo of the offense.
You've been involved in an improved pass rush so far this year. Tell us about that, about how that's evolved, and about what it's like to finally get in there and get to the quarterback.
Yeah, well, the scheme helps big time. Coach Skip is bringing a very aggressive defense, so that helps. Also, across the board on the D-line, and especially with the linebackers too, we've been making it really competitive. Myself and Jameer, we've been competing every day throughout fall camp, every day in practice. Whoever had the least amount of sacks had to do push-ups, and it's carrying over into games now. So it's making it more fun and more interesting during games.
Visiting with Roger Mann of the Rebel Defense on this edition of the Coach's Show, the Tony Sanchez Show. Roger, you're stranded on a desert island. You get three movies you can bring. Which are they?
My favorite movie is Wedding Crashers. I love Vince Vaughn. I'm a comedy guy. I don't really like scary movies, so I'm going to go with Wedding Crashers, Superbad, and probably Dirty Grandpa. I like that movie, too.
Super bad. Everybody's wish list. Oh, no, yeah. Question. Music.
I'm an all-around guy. I'm big time with Nirvana. I wish I was around during that time so I could go see them live. I really like, on game days, I like to listen to like my rap and hip-hop too. So I keep it interesting. I just don't really like country, though. That's the only thing I don't really listen to.
You're one of four kids. Are they all sports fans?
They are. They are now. We have some athletes in the family, but it's crazy to see how like my career's developed, to see the whole family develop into huge football fans. I mean, I got my mom, my sisters, everybody blowing up my phone talking about football now, so it's a lot of fun in the family.
Growing up, were you a Chargers fan?
I was, but it was kind of hard to remain a Charger fan as years went by. My whole family's from Cleveland, so I'm kind of a Cleveland fan too. I don't really have a real team. I like the Bengals for some reason too, so I keep it interesting.
And what about a couple of NFL players that you either grew up admiring or that are active today?
I love watching Khalil Mack. I tried to learn from his pass rush moves. I like to watch his intensity and how his motor helps him make a lot more plays too. Him and obviously Von Miller, he's a sack specialist, and J.J. Watt too.
Roger, it's a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Roger Mann of the Rebels defensive line, our guest on this edition of the Tony Sanchez Show, back with a whole lot more on the UNLV sports properties from Learfield.
...49-yard attempt, and it's blocked. It's blocked. It is picked up by the Panthers, and they are dragged out of bounds inside the 45-yard line. The field goal attempt was by Daniel Gutierrez, not Evan Pantels, and the kick was blocked, and Prairie View gets a break. Back to pass Morton on first down, and he's in heavy traffic, and the ball is loose and picked up by the Rebels. The ball was fumbled and picked up by Roger Mann. Rogers is going to keep on the left side. He's inside the five, spins in for a Rebel touchdown. Wow, Armani Rogers, I mean, he's like one of those big running backs. He is relentless.
I tell you what, he is tough to bring down.
And some more of the highlights, including the final touchdown by the Rebels as they go on for the win over Prairie View A&M here on the Tony Sanchez Show. Looking for a great car deal? Remember, nobody sells or services more vehicles in Nevada than Findlay Toyota. At Findlay Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Rebels up against Arkansas State figures to be a pretty stiff test on the road, Coach.
Yeah, they're a great football program. They've done a good job over a number of years, won five of the last seven conference championships. Coach Anderson's done a really good job over there. The quarterback's dynamic, man. He's just returning conference player of the year, great leader, and you know, and they're stingy on defense. So we're excited. I mean, it's you know, these are the kind of tests you want. You know, we've had two, you know, weeks in a row where we've gotten wins at home, and now you know, we got one more game before we take a week off and get into conference play. And this is the kind of team you want to be playing. Someone who's going to challenge you on all levels. It's going to be a tough road trip. You know, you fly into Memphis and you got about an hour and a half bus trip over, you know. So, uncomfortable environment. It's going to be rainy, and that's exactly what the doctor ordered. Let's go find out who we are.
Well, this would figure to be one of the tougher trips that the Rebels are going to take for some of those reasons. I mean, the long flight, the long road, the long drive to get there, the rain, being on the road and everything. And so perhaps with an older, more experienced group like you have this year, Coach, maybe that'll provide a little chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, our guys definitely are excited about this game. They're excited about, you know, getting on the road and, you know, going into a hostile environment to play a really good football program. And it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for us. It's going to be tough. I mean, again, they're going to challenge us, you know, in all phases. And, you know, it's one of those games where if you're going to win it, it's going to be one of those deals where you win it at the end. So we're going to have to be able to run the football. That's who we are. And they're going to be hell-bent on stopping it. We've got to be able to do it anyway. Armani's going to have to be productive in the passing game. They're going to make plays on offense. We got to understand that, be mature enough to stay in the pocket, not get upset when they make plays, because they score points and they're good and they're explosive. And I'm sure they're going to have their opportunities and their moments. We just got to have more moments than them.
Probably a good thing that you played in front of 60,000 at SC. This stadium obviously is smaller, but they get crowds. I mean, you're talking about a 30,000-seat stadium that I think they're doing a renovation on to add more seats.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and here's the deal. I don't care if you're in a 25,000-seat stadium or a 90,000. If the stadium's packed and it's rocking, it is a home field advantage, you know. So we got to work on that around these parts. But they got it going over there. So it's going to be one of those deals where they're definitely going to have a home field advantage, and it'll be a hostile environment.
Why is their quarterback so good? He's an Oklahoma transfer. Last year he had 37 touchdowns in the air. He can run a little bit too.
Yeah, he can. And, you know, I think his running ability. I mean, heck, last week they motioned out to an empty set and ran QB power for like a 30-yard touchdown. I mean, he doesn't just, you know, ad lib run. I mean, they got run stuff in there for him. He's an older guy. He's a veteran. He's been around a long time. He's a big guy. He's got kind of a sideways throwing motion, but man, he gets it out quick. You know, and they set a lot of things up for him. They run a ton of bubble screens. They run a ton of jailbreak screens. They do a lot of stuff that gets that ball out of his hands really, really fast. And they play at a really fast-paced tempo. So he's a talented guy.
Seems like they have a lot of playmakers, too. They have eight different guys this year who have caught touchdown passes.
Yeah, no, they do. They spread it out. I mean, they and you know what's funny is you can tell they play with a ton of confidence. Just even watching it on film. I mean, no commentary, watch it on film. They have big body language. You can tell they expect to score. I mean, they get up. They're efficient. There's not a lot of little mistakes. The thing that he's done in the past is he has turned the ball over. Been really good this year and hasn't done it. You know, I think in order to go down there and win a game, we're going to have to get a couple of turnovers.
So you talked earlier about your defensive backs and playing the ball and coming down with some of those big plays. They're always in great position in the secondary. They're going to have a tough task because not only is it a good quarterback that they're going against, but he's got a couple of tall receivers out on the edge, 6'5 club on the edges that are probably going to be looking to make some big plays.
Yeah, we're definitely, you know, when it comes to the height-wise, there's definitely mismatches all over the place. You know, both of our guys are, you know, Plummer, you know, he comes in at times in this game. He may be able to help out with the height level, but you know, with Jericho and Jaquez, you know, and Perry and all that, there's definitely a height disadvantage. So, but a lot of teams have that plan against them. We just got to do a good job of getting in their face, make sure they're not getting free releases, and then how do you solve a lot of those problems with the pass rush, you know? So we're going to have to figure out a way to create those pass rushes and at the same time not leave our secondary hanging out to dry.
Would it be fair to say that this would be one of the top teams, one of the elite teams in the Mountain West if they were over there?
Yeah, before the season started, you know, you sit there and you're going through the whole thing, and there's a lot of really good teams, but when you looked at it, you knew that was one of the better teams on the schedule as far as, you know, on paper, what they've done in the past, just some of the guys they have returning. They're a really, really good football team.
All right, we got our final break coming up, and when we return, back with our remaining moments at head coach Tony Sanchez on the Tony Sanchez Show. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back. Time for our remaining moments now at head coach Tony Sanchez and the Tony Sanchez Show, along with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, Russ Langer here. The new 2019 Toyotas have arrived at Finley Toyota. Come see them today. Finley Toyota is the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada. For the best selection and the best price, it's Finley Toyota. Well, we talked with Roger Mann earlier. What else can you tell us about one of the top defenders on the Rebels?
Well, I'll tell you what. He's done such a good job of being a presence on defense this year. Tackles for loss, getting a pass rush. And, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, the thing that people don't see is the way he walks around the building, the way he is in the weight room. I mean, he's a guy that the team looks up to. He's a hard worker. He's a selfless guy. I mean, he's exactly what you want to build a program around.
Also had a chance to chat with Nathan Jacobson after practice, and he's another interesting guy.
Nate's one of those. He's one of the original guys we recruited. You know, he's been here. He's a guy who had to play a little too early. He's had a great career, returning all-conference guy, and, you know, he's the one senior on the whole offensive line, you know, the only senior in, you know, of the entire group. I mean, we have 18 linemen in the program, and he's the only senior. So, he's going to have a good year this year. He's going to help us to a great year.
He described being in the trenches as being a combination of playing a game of chess and being involved in a four-car accident.
Well, he's a very dramatic kid. I will say that. So that sounds like something he would say. He's hilarious. He's our Eddie Haskell, probably, for sure.
And he's a senior. That's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great quote. I gotta use that.
Yeah. So that's Roger Mann. We appreciate him being with us. Nathan Jacobson is going to be part of our pregame show on Saturday. We had a nice chat with him also. We look forward to that. And, of course, we'll talk to Coach Sanchez on that day as well. Coach Jerron Caldwell, Matt Brayton, a couple of guys dinged up during the game. What can you tell us about them now?
Well, Caldwell's out this week. Nothing torn. So he's out, though. So Julio Garcia will get the start this week. And then Brayton, he's good to go. I mean, you know, MRIs, everything came back good. He practiced the last 2 days, so he'll be a backup at left tackle.
Caldwell out, but then the bye week after that, any chance that he may be back after that?
He will. No, he'll be back. Yeah, we fully expect him back practicing during the bye week and ready to roll. Sitakosa is back. He'll be starting at the center spot this week, so that's good. Stenger, again, is getting healthier and healthier, so he had depth of that area. And that's a great thing. We've got a bunch of guys that, you know, like guys like Garcia, he comes in, now he's starting. Well, it's not his first start. He started the last two games last year, so he's a guy who's played a bunch and done some really good things.
Next man up. That mantra is, I guess, going to be what gets you through this stretch.
Absolutely. You know, if you're going to have a good year, you're going to have tough guys to help you through those tough times.
Caleb, Steve, glad you could join us, as always. And, Coach, we'll look forward to it. This Saturday, Rebels at Arkansas State, 4 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Central, and big, big test.
You're fired up about it. I know the guys will be ready. And just, you know, everyone tune on in and go Rebs.
All right, that's it. And good night from Born and Raised.
On the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, this has been the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Finley Toyota. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebel Sports Network.